Right, hello and welcome to what I hope is the first episode of maybe many of DIY EV Chat, where I speak to other people who've been nuts enough to try and build their own electric cars. And I'm starting with an easy one for me. My person who's helped me an enormous amount through my build, Jamie Jones. Welcome, Jamie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Pleasure. I'm loving the Christmas jumper, the second one I've seen of yours this week.
Yeah, you might get the opportunity to see the flashing Christmas tree one by the end of the week.
Fantastic. So let's start off by finding out a bit about you, because people always ask me, you know, what skills do you need? You have to be an engineer. Do you have to, you know loads of stuff? Do you have to have done loads of car stuff in order to build your own EV? First of all, what's your day job?
A freelance software developer.
So you understand the codey bits of all this, because there is a lot of code involved in making these things work.
I understand a lot of the code. I wouldn't say all of it. some of the parts of the open source open inverter, when it gets into the motor control and all that stuff, I've not even looked at it. I've just assumed that Johannes knows what he's doing and that works. There's quite a lot of complicated mathematical formulas and things in there. The maximum torque per amp and all sorts of other things that... Yeah.
You can get by without understanding all the algorithms and all the maths that goes into it.
Yeah, if you understand the basics and follow various well documented builds and guides online, it's pretty easy to get a motor spinning with open inverter and one of the pre built boards.
And what about the other bits? What about the sort of the electronics and the more sort of heavy engineering side of this? Have you got much experience with electronics or fabrication?
Yeah, I'd say I've always been a bit of a tinkerer. Like, for example, a few years ago, I strapped a motor to a skateboard without a motor controller, and it was just an on-off switch, which was really difficult to even set off on.
Did this result in a hospital trip?
No, so someone did fall off it. I'm not going to name names. And then from then on, anybody who had a go decided to sit down on it and use it more. Sat down and just pressed the button.
Very, very wise, I would say. Very wise.
Yeah. I also strapped a motor to my son's bicycle. And then...
Did your son have a say in this?
I can't remember. it was a bike bought specifically for that. It wasn't his daily bicycle. It was one that I bought off eBay. It was cheap, £5 bike, and yeah, it was my first go at welding when I did that.
And your welding's come on since then, has it?
Quite a lot. Yeah, it helps if you turn the gas on, which is something I learned quite quickly.
All made that mistake once or twice.
Yeah, the welds were bad. The corners weren't 90 degrees or even close. But yeah, and then after that, I got him an Osset trials bike, and I thought...
Yeah, so this I've seen, you converted a gas trials bike to electric.
It is, yes. After getting my son an electric one, and it sort of made me think, you know, I reckon this wouldn't be too difficult. And then, someone I used to work with had an old two-stroke gas in their garage for 20 years. And he let me have that for a few £100. So I picked that up. I think I must have had two, maybe three rides on it as a two-stroke. And it was so difficult to kick over and start it, and when it was running it was smoky and noisy, and I just thought his Osset was so much more refined is probably the word. It was easier to ride, it was quiet, smooth, no one could tell he was like riding it. So from then on,
I'm not sure if that makes a Charles bike more or less scary, the idea that you could be out for a walk and this thing just creeps up behind you. You don't want to hear them coming a mile off.
Yeah, you are only supposed to ride on private land and places that you've got permission. And another thing, when I was riding it as a two-stroke, I fell off it and got my arm on the exhaust, and I got quite a painful burn on that. So that was another factor.
So you decided to swap the risk of burns for the risk of risk of electrocution.
I think you pretty much have to do something quite stupid to get electrocuted with the, I think it was a 72 volt battery I was using. So it was relatively safe, I think.
Relatively safe. Was it safe to ride?
It was pretty fun to ride, actually. It was I was not an expert at riding trials by any means, but whacked the throttle open and the front end came up. Brakes sometimes worked. Being 20 years old, and it's pretty good.
So how did you, was that the point you came across the sort of EV conversion community when you were doing the research around the bike, or was that later?
It was sort of, I was partway through it and I was started to just look on YouTube and forums, and I come across Endless Sphere, and that was more catered towards bicycles and e-bikes and that sort of thing. I then gradually came across Damien Maguire on YouTube, and so his BMWs, and particularly his 1,000 euro build, that was the one that sparked my interest.
Damien Maguire, the gateway drug of EV conversion for so many of us.
Yeah.
And so, what happened then? What was the next step? From how long did it go from coming across the community thinking, yeah, I'm going to do this?
Pretty much straight away, I was thinking, I want to do this. But it was probably another year after coming across that before I became a bit more serious about the fact that, yeah, I want to do this.
And what was your first step? What did you buy first?
I think it was the logic board from Damien Maguire, the Prius replacement logic board. As soon as he made that available, I thought, yeah, Prius stuff looks pretty solid. So that's the first thing I bought, and I think that might have taken quite a while to come. He went through a few issues, didn't he, at the beginning of the development of that. And it took maybe 6 months to arrive by the time he'd found someone to actually start manufacturing them. I think he discovered JLC PCB, and that's pretty much, I think that was the first thing I bought. The inverter might have been second. Possibly the motor. And then it sort of snowballed from there.
And the motor's how you and I connected, because we were both some of the first people trying to use that motor, particularly with the Prius inverter, mm-hmm. and continue to share both experience and pain with that combination. How did you choose what car to do after that? So you started putting together bits, you got the motor spinning, I take it, and then bought a car, or?
Yeah, I think I had the motor spinning before I got the car. Yeah, I think so, because you kept asking me, when are you buying a car? When are you buying a car? So we sort of added the pressure actually finding a car and buying a car to start.
And how did you choose that car?
Well, car chose me, I guess you could say. It popped up on Facebook Marketplace just around the corner for £300. It was a Beetle, a VW Beetle. I've always quite liked those. More so the older shape, but, you know, budget. So, yeah, this car popped up on Facebook, and the fella said he would even bring it round, £300. So, sold. It's pretty much
brilliant.
The very next day.
And what sort of shape was it in? Was it ready to go, or did it need much work?
Bodywork-wise, it was pretty solid. Very little rust. I think there was just one patch of the sill that needed a little weld. The other issue was the rear brakes were binding and emissions, failing on emissions. Failed the MOT.
Well, that we can solve.
Before I bought it. Yeah, so I wasn't worried about the condition of the car. It was much less rusty than yours, and I was pretty much able to jump straight in, really.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, my tip is don't buy something that's lived by the seaside. It's in for 20 years if you want a quick conversion. So you got the Prius Gen 3 inverter.
Yep.
We've both got the motor out of the, well, one of the motor / generators out of an Outlander. And then what did you do battery wise?
So I think this might have been one of the last things I bought. It was a Golf GTE battery from the Hybrid Golf. I think it's a plug in. This was cheap on eBay. Again, another theme. I think that was £500 from someone brought it from Birmingham, actually, in the back of his car. That's from a Golf, 8.8 kilowatt hours.
That's an incredible deal, 500 quid for that. I mean, and, you know, especially considering when you bought it. I mean, prices are coming down a bit, but that's price per kilowatt hour. That's pretty special. And I will say, it's a bit of a theme with you. Whatever I buy, you then go on to buy for about half the price.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to struggle to get a second battery pack. That's now in my mind, I can't pay more than 500. And the cheapest I've been able to get anyone down to is 600, but...
That's still pretty good for 8.8 kilowatt hours.
It is. I may go for that in the new year.
Possibly. Doesn't quite satisfy the Yorkshireman in you, but...
Yeah.
And what else? So yeah, that's your sort of core components, battery, inverter, motor. There's obviously quite a bit to go in terms of hooking that up to the motor. What arrangement did you go for with the Beetle?
So I've got the Outlander generator coupled with a solid coupler. So there's no clutch, no dampening in there. It's just a solid metal splines at one end, splines at the other, onto the original gearbox of the Beetle. 5-speed generic manual gearbox.
And where did the coupler and the sort of adapter plate come from? Did you make that? You design that or get that made up?
So originally I tried to make that myself. With not a very good outcome. I probably would be able to do better now. I've got a bit more experience fabricating metal and that sort of thing. But so I got the clutch plate from the Beetle, the original clutch plate. I kept that, took the centre out, and got another clutch plate. I think it was a Ford, an old Escort from memory. So the two clutch centres, and welded them together. Not very well.
Well, anyone who's watched my videos will know that I had the same thing and also didn't weld it very well. And then the adapter plate, you got that machine, didn't you?
I did. Having put the gearbox on end and then the motor on top and started running it, the motor was sort of had a wiggle on from side to side. This is not going to do. So I put out a request on Facebook, and someone local had just started out as a machine shop for himself, and he just bought a £30,000 worth of CNC milling machine, and he said he'd do it for me at cost price if I just paid the cost of the block of aluminium. So I was down at his unit, I think 3-4 days before Christmas last year, heaving a motor and a gearbox out of my boot and dumping it in his unit where he'd not even finished sweeping up from the previous tenant. The machine, his CNC machine, had not arrived, and I was dumping a gearbox and motor on him.
Wow.
But yeah.
But you got there in the end, got it all bolted up.
Yeah. So when he brought it round, it's a lovely piece of aluminium, and it bolts in perfectly. It's much better than I could manage at home with hammer and a drill and a welder. That's not to say
which
you
I'm
can't
about
manage.
To... No, well, it's a process I'm about to go through again, but with my motor upgrade, you can do it. But sure, I think, you know, I'd certainly advise people if they can find someone to machine it and they've got the budget to do it, if they can get something designed up or have somebody else design something up, it's probably a good option.
Yeah, so he even did the CAD drawings and everything for me, which I was going to do, but I guess he had no work on. I was just, well, he definitely had work on. He had to do his workshop, but it seemed to spark his interest as well. Which I've got still actually
bit
got
of,
to
bit
go
of
back and see him. Yeah, I've got to actually go back and see him and show him the finished working product.
So you've since you got it running, you then got it MOT'd. Did it get through, sail through?
It did, yes. I was as shocked as as anyone. I took my son with me and we was watching it go up on the ramp and everything, and I'm thinking, he's going to find something. But no, he came out and said, passed. So I was surprised and very pleased. I did a victory lap on the way home.
Another reason for me to be very jealous of you. So since then you've been driving it around. You've made some upgrades recently. I know you're a bit ahead of me in terms of adding heating.
Yeah, so I've just added the Outlander water heater. Obviously, there's no waste heat. Well, very little waste heat. So that took a bit of getting working. We had to get some logs from an Outlander with this specific heater on it. Yeah, I think it's 2016 onwards. And no one had shared any of these logs previously on the internet, so I had to send some logging equipment to someone. I think it was in Newcastle or somewhere, I can't remember where. So I sent him this equipment and instructions on how to get a log, and thankfully he came through, and a couple of days later we had the heater working and very pleased.
Yeah, so am I, because I have the same heater, which I'm going to install in the new year at some point. So thanks for doing the hard work.
All the code for that is on GitHub. So it's open source and anyone can use it.
And that's a good point about this community, actually, is that it's lots of code shared, but actually all sorts of other stuff as well, 3D prints and coupler designs and all sorts of stuff. It's a very sort of open community.
A lot of it is, yeah. Obviously, there's going to be commercial sides of it who aren't sharing, but you take your money, you pay your chances. Or what do you say? Pay your money, take your chances.
What have been the biggest challenges so far with this project?
Probably the coupling of the motor to the gearbox was originally quite a big challenge for me, lacking any sort of precision drilling equipment and, well, a drill press, really. I was drilling by hand and basically trying to centre punch. Another one was time. Obviously, it takes quite a bit of time. Especially, I'd never even taken an engine out or anything as extreme as that before. So it takes quite a bit of time. It's not something you can do in a single weekend at the moment until there's bolt-on kits and that sort of thing available. So you're going to need quite a bit of time. Basically, just getting all the canvas logs, that was quite a pain as well.
Yeah, you were like a dog with a bone with that. You were very persistent.
Yeah, I was posting on Russian forums and all sorts of things to try and get that. And Facebook groups. I was even going to go to Scunthorpe and Scarborough to grab a log, but thankfully I didn't have to go far, go to Russia or anything.
Fly out to Russia with your logging equipment.
I'm not sure.
And what's been the most rewarding?
The most rewarding.
Yeah, what's been the most rewarding aspects?
Driving it. It's quite a sense of achievement to be quietly coasting along. Particularly seeing as this year we had the fuel crisis shortages, and I was basically just coming home and plugging in. And so that was quite good. And knowing that if anything breaks on it, I can fix it quite cheaply, seeing as I've built most of it. I mean, the engine's the most complicated part of a car. I think brakes pretty simple, steering simple, suspension probably simple.
It is, isn't it? Like you know, by the time you're done, you know the car inside and out. I mean, you understand, know every sort of corner of it. I certainly do, because I feel like I've welded every corner of mine.
You probably have.
But that sense of achievement of just getting in the car and driving is really good. Even when it cuts out occasionally.
You set off in near silence. Other than the power steering pump whine, it's quite something.
That's a good point, because there's a few other bits we didn't talk about. What are you using for charging?
So the Charger is an Outlander unit again. It's a combined DC-DC and Charger. Basically, that keeps your 12-volt battery topped up from your high-voltage battery, and it can charge your high-voltage battery from an AC supply. I think it's a 3 kilowatt-hour. Sorry, 3 kilowatt charger, 3.3. So I could probably
And
do a
then,
full charge in 4 hours or so.
yeah, that's which you know, if you're charging at home, is no issue at all. And
Yeah.
then the obviously you lose some of your ancillaries when you take the combustion engine out. So you've got
You
you
do, yeah.
mentioned the pump whine for the power steering pump. That's a Zafira unit.
It is, yeah. It's quite a noisy Zafira unit. So it's just a constant whine. That's the electro-hydraulic, I think they call it. So it's just an electric pump pushing hydraulic fluid around, similar to previously you had belt-driven pump, and that would drive your hydraulics. And this is just replacing that with an electric motor. The
And
other
then
one
obviously the
was the,
vacuum pump for the brakes over as well.
yeah. So I got that from you actually. It was
Yes.
the Chinese part, I think, was it?
Yeah, Chinese
Chinese
Bosch
pump.
clone, I think.
Yeah, that actually works quite well. So I just got a little vacuum sensor that reads the amount of vacuum, I guess, and my VCU tells it when to switch on and off. And
So
that,
your VCU actually, you actually put something together yourself, didn't you, to control various bits?
yeah, it replaces the main engine ECU, and it's based on an open source project by Johannes again, adapted for my usage and my particular bits and bobs. Excuse me. Sorry.
A step I've still got to take. Mine's
Yep.
my the level of logic in mine is basically relays and diodes at the moment, so not very sophisticated, but mostly functional. What's been your favourite tool? Have you bought many tools in the process? And have you got a particular favourite?
Well, these are tools that I already had, but I think it's a toss-up between the welder and the 3D printer. Those are pretty useful tools. Yeah. But the one tool I did buy was the big Chinese cable crimping hydraulic finger squashing device. So they definitely need to crimp the big cable lugs.
Yeah, they're pretty useful. I've borrowed one of those. I borrowed it about 18 months ago, I think. No, yeah, probably about 18 months ago. I've not given it back yet. So, Alfred, if you do need it, give me a shout.
So I think that's,
And
sorry,
go on.
that's probably the one of the few specific tools that I've bought. Everything else sort of I had already. I do
I
believe
think
you've
if you've got
probably
a
spent
reasonably
more than me
well-equipped
on
garage,
tools.
if you've got a socket set and various other bits, you're probably all right. I might have gone a little bit nuts on the tool front, but yeah, I don't even have a garage to work in. I mean, you've only got half a garage to work in.
Yeah. I can get out of the rain a little bit.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that luxury. And what's next for your projects? So, what are the next steps? You've done heating, obviously a bit of tidying up to do here and there, but what's
Yeah,
next?
so I want to redo the 12 volt wiring. That's quite a mess. Put in a dedicated fuse box for all the stuff I've added under the bonnet. Probably going to follow you down the bigger motor route, although might not go the same way and bolt it to the gearbox. I might use the diff that comes with the Outlander unit, and custom drive shafts may go that route.
Yeah.
Eliminate the
It's more of a
actual
straight
spinning
swap for
gear.
you, isn't it, since it's front wheel drive?
It is, yeah. It should be relatively straightforward, I think. Other
Just
than
that, it's just
obviously
those custom
remounting.
drive shafts that, just those custom drive shafts that that terrify me a bit. Well, not terrify me, but I don't know anybody who'd do them yet.
No, that was the reason I originally went down bolting to the gearbox, was the getting of the actual drive shafts made up. I didn't know anybody or anywhere or anything about that. So in hindsight, I'd probably, if doing it starting again, I would go with a rear motor straight to the wheels. Well, not straight to the wheels, but through the diff, eliminating the original gearbox. And then,
Weight saving, sorts your gearing out.
yeah, and it save you having to, like, currently with our smaller motors, we have to go first, second, possibly even third gear. But you get rid of that. What else do we want? I definitely want to replace the power steering pump. I want to replace that with an electric one. Either, I think VW's later models have got an electric power steering rack. That whine really does annoy me now. Everything else is quite quiet. another battery. Obviously, I mentioned that earlier. Definitely want a bigger battery. Probably not going to get a third one in there to get me 100 miles. But you never know. And there's a few body cleanup things I want to do. A bit of rust that I did treat. I've still got the rust converter, the blackness on there that I need to clean up. Wheels. I've currently got one wheel trim on. Really annoys my wife. She keeps just saying, just buy a set of wheel trims.
Not a nice set of alloys.
Yeah, well, no, I don't. No, I quite like the steel wheel look, so I might paint them. I'll just get some nice VW wheel trims. And then, obviously, there's always the thought of another car.
Well, that's going to be my next question. Are you going to do another one?
I do want to do another one. A bigger, longer range one. Possibly a Touran or something that can get two kids, wife and a dog 100 miles without having to stop for a charge would be ideal.
When are you ever going to do 100 miles with two kids in the car and not have to stop?
Well, yeah, not have to fight for a charger, because I think the route I do take, I don't know if there is actually a charging point at the moment.
And obviously, it'd be nice to be able to go all the way through.
Yeah. Although we do have to stop for the dog to be sick and kids to go to the toilet and all that, but hopefully we'll grow out of that one day.
Yeah, maybe. We shall see. Yeah, similar challenges. Not that my next project is going to help with that at all, but
you can take one child in one car and one child in the other. A convoy of Z3s.
That's not an unattractive idea. Brilliant. Well, listen, thanks for coming on, Jamie. That's been, I think, a very good start to this series. If you're watching this and you've done a conversion, I'd like to see people actually finished and got it on the road. There's lots of people in the middle of projects or starting on projects, but I think it's nice to do the whole story through to actually having a running, driving car. So if you're in that position and you'd like to do one of these chats, then give me a shout. And you could be the next person up on this DIY EV chat. These videos I'll be interspersing between my own project stories. Weather and work and all sorts of things mean that those maybe don't come out as often as I'd like. I'm aiming for every 2 weeks, but can't guarantee it. So I'll try and do some of these from the warmth of my workshop in between. So thanks again, Jamie, for coming on, being the first person
on. No problem.
And fingers crossed this is the first of many. Happy Christmas as well.
You too. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.